I want to welcome to the Spirit of Hosea service this morning. If you're listening to this on the internet or have been listening to this from a downloaded CD, you are listening to a recorded sermon of and a recorded service of the Spirit of Hosea group and fellowship. And we thank you for being here, and we welcome you, and we just hope that that you will be blessed. If you're listening to this on CD, we would encourage you to download from the internet other sermons and topics and materials and electronic books and videos and audios at www.marriagedivorce.com or www.theologicalfoundation.org. My name is Reverend Stephen W. Wilcox. I'm the Executive Director of Theological Foundations Ministries, which is based out of Canada. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you promised that whenever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be there. We are gathered together in your name, Lord, and we just ask that you be with us and be in our midst, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you help me to understand what I am to teach this morning and that you will bring clarity to the subject. And I ask, Lord, that you touch my tongue, that everything I say will be of you. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch, open the ears of all those that are hearing this, and touch their hearts, Lord, to soften them so they can receive the truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The little talk that I'm going to give today is called Living in Peace. And I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 15. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 15. I'll go ahead. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. This verse that I have just read has been widely used by many within the church and by many that go to the New Testament and try to twist and wrest Scripture to their own destruction. And they use this as a permission in order to divorce and remarry. But we know that this verse does not mean that the marriage covenant is broken, or that the Christian, man or woman that is left behind, can go out and pick out a younger woman or a richer, kinder man. No, sir. The context of this verse is absolutely forbids such an idea. Now let's just go to what was said before this verse. Please just go up a few verses, 1 Corinthians, still chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave the husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. Now that's on one side of this verse, establishing context. On the other side of this verse is in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. You can consider that verses 10 and 11 is the goalpost on the left, and verse 39 is the goalpost on the right. Any truth has to go between those posts. 1 Corinthians 7:39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, but only in the Lord. Now, this is the same teaching that Paul taught to those who knew the law, not to those that are ignorant or trying to figure out what the Bible had to say on the subject, but to those that knew the law, a common morality, and exactly what the first generations of Christians knew at the time. Paul was talking to them. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Romans 7, 1 to 3. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those that know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Let's read again, 1 Corinthians 7:15. What is Paul trying to say there? I'll read it again to you. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. What is he saying? 1 Corinthians 7:15 is not referring to the breaking of a marriage covenant. No, sir. Paul is intending to stress that God commands us to live in peace. as God himself has defined what peace means and as he defines peace. That is to live in peace, not war. In regards to this situation, in regards to the husband leaving, in regards to the wife leaving, in regards to the breakup of the family, the unbeliever leaving does not end the responsibility of the Christian that is left behind. No, it isn't. No, they're not. Look at the very next verse, verse 16. Verse 16. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, that you will save your wife? Or as the New Living Translation puts it, and I think it puts it excellently. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 7, 15 and 16. But if the husband or the wife who isn't a Christian insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the Christian husband or wife is not required to stay with them. For God wants his children to live in peace. You wives must remember that your husbands may be converted because of you. And you husbands must remember that your wives might be converted because of you. Paul is not saying that if the unbeliever, or if the backsliding, or if the non-Christian husband leaves, if the non-Christian wife leaves, those that are turning against God's will leaves, that the one that is left, that the victim, can then discard the responsibilities, agree with the one that has left, and then move on. Paul is not talking about the ability to move on, to start fresh, to have somebody new. He's not saying that. He's talking about living on, not moving on. Living in the Spirit. Living on. Starting fresh with Jesus and joy and peace and righteousness and purity and faithfulness, forgiveness, peace, as God defines peace. Now, how does God define peace? Please look with me at Romans chapter 14, verse 19. That's Romans 14, 19. So then, we pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. That's what peace is. Not tearing down. Not building up. It's building up, not tearing up. It's not rubbing our departed spouse's nose in their sin or what they have done. And it's not just making sure that we're not unfaithful and not remarrying ourselves. It's not only that. It's not lobbying against them with families or friends to have people to agree, but is to do such things to act and to stay above God's law and with God's law, which is the law of love. And we have to love and we have to forgive those who betray and injure and hate us, not in arguments, not in angst, not in friction, but with the fruit of the Spirit. So often, people take the wrong interpretation on divorce and remarriage in Christian circles because of the angst and the anger of the self-righteous that stay behind. But you know something? We're the ones that are letting God down in that, and the sin of unforgiveness is just as serious, and perhaps more so, than the sin of adultery. Please turn with me to Galatians 5, 22 and 24. We are to display in all circumstances the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The law of God and the law of love condemns fornication. It condemns adultery. It condemns unforgiveness. It condemns having those that injured us be injured back. It condemns us when we don't give it to God and completely forgive those that have hurt us. Let's live in the Spirit of love and joy and peace, just like Paul commanded. That is what Romans chapter 7, verse 15 means. That is what it means. And I'll not Romans, rather 1 Corinthians 7:15. Let me read it to you again. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for clarifying this. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you just put this into our hearts so that we display the peace and the joy of God in all of our circumstances. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.